Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Most Heavenly Father, once again, we come before you. We come, Lord, just inviting you to make us small in our own eyes. Father, may you increase, and may we decrease the more. Lord, we believe, we trust that you have a word for us, God. And so, Lord, we stand here as your vessel, Lord. We pray that you speak through us. Mm-hmm. Speak to the hearts of the people. Speak right where they are. Encourage them to desire to grow in you, to be more in you today than they were yesterday. Father, we thank you. And it's you and you alone that we give all the honor, all the glory, and all the praise. In Jesus' majestic name, we all pray. Amen. 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 God is good. All the time. He is so good. I tried to get Pastor Sunday if he would come up and do that message one more time. And I could just sit down. And I just echo what's been said already. I encourage you to get the CD. It was definitely a very practical but a right now word. Amen. that I needed, and I believe that the house need. Because of time, if you got your Bibles, turn to Joshua chapter 13, if you would, please. Yes, Joshua chapter 13. While you turn into Joshua 13, I want to give you a little background here. Moses is dead. Moses is dead, and Moses has been commissioned by God to take the bring the people out of Egypt. They're out of Egypt. And as they've come out of Egypt, Moses himself, because he disobeyed God, he would not get the opportunity to go into the promised land. But before Moses died, he was able to of the 12 tribes, 2.5 tribes, he was able to give them their inheritance, their blessing, their portion, their land. Okay. So, but Joshua, since Moses is dead, Joshua has the burden, if you would call it a burden, to be able to allocate the land to the balance of the 9.5 tribes. Joshua 1 reads this. I'm reading out of the New King James Version. It said, now Joshua was old. He was advanced in years. And the Lord says to him, you are old. Uh-oh. Oh, yeah. You are old and advanced in years, and there remains very much land yet to possess. Joshua had fought a few of the wars, but he was old, too old. But the mission must continue. Drop down to verse 7. I'm just going to hit a couple of these in this passage here. I'm supposed to read it all. Verse 7 said, now therefore divide this land as an inheritance to the 9 tribes and half the tribe of Manasseh. Verse 14. Only to the tribe of Levi he has given no inheritance. The sacrifices of the Lord God of Israel made by fire are their inheritance, as he said to them. And jump down to 33, final verse. But to the tribe of Levi, Moses had given no inheritance. The Lord God of Israel was their inheritance, as he has said to them. Moses had given them no inheritance, but the Lord God of Israel was their inheritance. All right. My title today I struggle with, and hopefully I didn't mess up the Harvest Shop and IT. I kept going back and forth with this. Lord, intercept this morning, and the title is, the Lord is my inheritance, and I am his. The Lord is my inheritance. And I am his. Look at somebody and tell them, the Lord is my inheritance, and I am his. Now you gotta say that like you mean it, because it's a reality. Because if you just said it because I told you to repeat it, you won't get what God's got coming for you. Now look at somebody real good. Look them in the eye. Don't look at the shoulders. Look at them in the eye and say, "The Lord is my inheritance, and I am His. Yes, I am." It's not based upon my goodness or my based upon my lack. I'm His inheritance. I am His. Inheritance. Inheritance. The word inheritance means the act of inheriting property or money when someone dies. Someone died, y'all. If you didn't know, someone died. If you don't know, ask the person next to you. They'll tell you somebody died. Inheritance is the reception of a genetic quality by transmission from a parent to an offspring. It's the acquisition of a possession or a condition or a trait from past generation. It's a valuable possession. Valuable possession that is a common heritage from nature. And God is saying to the children of Israel, and I believe He's saying it to us today, you are my valuable possession. You are my inheritance. You think about the tribe, a little bit about the tribe of Levi. They was chosen by God. They didn't have a choice. God chose them. God chose you. God chose me. We didn't have a choice. People say, "I came to God." No, God drew you to Him. It was not on an act of your own. It was God's doing. Yes, sir. God chose you. He chose me to be His inheritance. We was chosen by God to be. The Levites were chosen by God to be His priests. Where they can, as a priest, they will go before God on behalf of the people. The priest was also, they were the intercessor. They was the intercessor for the people. They was also the intercessor for God. The people could not come before God, so they had an intercessor. That's what the high priest would do. When God has something to say, He will go to the priest, and the priest would relate to the people. He will offer up sacrifice and offerings for their sins, for His own sins. He will pray for them. He would offer up prayers. He would often, if you go into the temple, He would have, He would light incense. Incense was a representative of prayers before the Lord. On behalf of the people, He was required to be pure and holy, to be sanctified before the God. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about the high priest. We're talking about the tribe of Israel that was inheritance. Was the Lord's inheritance? Laws were their inheritance. Go to Exodus 19. Exodus 19. Verse 1. We're talking about a people that receive no property, that receive no money, receive no land, but they receive God as their inheritance. We're talking about them people. Them people. Verse 1, in the third month after the children of Israel had gone out of the land of Egypt, on the same day they came to the wilderness of Sinai. For they had departed from Rephidim, had come to the wilderness of Sinai, and camped in the wilderness. So Israel camped there before the mountain. And Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain, saying, "Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wing and brought you to myself. Now therefore, if you indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people. For all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel." As I was reading that text, I love it when I'm studying. I'm looking for the ahas, and I'm looking for the ahas in text. There was three ahas that kind of jumped out to me in this text here. One was, God made the first move. God made the first move. The second aha was, and I'll come back and develop that in a minute. The second aha was that he requires something of me. He required something of them. And then the third aha, God made the final move. Let's go back. God requires something of them. What did God require of them? God required them to be obedient, to obey his voice. We've learned in scripture, obedience is better than sacrifice. We've learned from the teaching of this house, obedience is the currency of the kingdom. If you're going to get anything done in the kingdom of God, you got to be obedient. Got to obey God. People say, I'm a child of God. I'm a Christian. My question is, if you are you obeying God? So if you're obeying God, guess what? You in position for his inheritance. I jump down to my second point. I'm going to go back up to the first. God made the first move. Mm-hmm. Someone's supposed to call that. You know I'm going to catch stuff like that. The first move, God made the first move. God's first move is the fact that he bore them on eagle's wings. They was in a place. They was in Egypt. And God brought them. He delivered them out of Egypt. Because you and I are God's inheritance, God wants to deliver us from our Egypt. My question is, what is your Egypt? What Egypt are you in bondage that you enslaved by? God wants to bore you. God wants to deliver you. Pastor Sunday talked about sin this morning. He talked about there should be a mark. There should be a struggle somewhere. If there is no struggle, God wants to deliver you from that bondage, that enslavement. I don't know what your sin is. I don't know what your struggle is. But God wants to deliver you from that, from your Egypt. Then the second thing he did in making a move, he brought them to himself. Mm-hmm. He brought them to himself. Just imagine this. God brought them. When your hands are out like so and you bring them to yourself, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. You put them close. You bring them to your heart. Mm-hmm. God was drawing them to his heart. His love zone. He was in love with them because he was preparing them to give them their inheritance. Now in a second, then he required something of them. One was obedience. I just talked about that. And the other thing he required of them is to keep his covenant. To keep his covenant. We know that the old covenant needed to be replaced with the new covenant. Jeremiah 31 said, the time is coming when I must make a new covenant with the people of Israel and the people of Judah. The old covenant just was not doing it. It was falling short. It was missing the mark. God needed a new covenant. And this new covenant requires better agreement. Unconditional as well as unconditional. The better covenant, that you just make a note, Hebrew 8:6 says, but on the other hand, he has obtained a supremely more excellent ministry, as much greater as a superior covenant, of which he is also a mediator, which was established upon superior promises. God's got a greater promise than the old one was. The law couldn't do it. There was a greater promise. There was three reasons, very quickly, and reason why there was a need for a new covenant. One, God would internally motivate man to obey him. because man of and of himself could not keep the law. We could not obey him. So he says over in Hebrew 8:10, he says, I will give my laws until their minds, and I will inscribe them upon their heart. I will be their God, and they will be my people. God wanted to put his law inside of it because externally we could not do it. It was impossible. We needed something greater, and God recognized that. Second reason for a better covenant is all sin would be forgiven. Verse 12 in Hebrew 8 says, for I will be merciful towards their unrighteousness, and their sins and their lawlessness I will not remember ever again. But if you remember the old covenant, they kept going back and forth to the temple, sacrificing animals, offering up, trying to become clean and pure. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All they was doing was slaughtering animals. But as soon as that was over, they walked outside. Guess what? They were sin-filled, sin-infected all over again. The act of the sacrifices was not. It was just a foreshadow of something to come, a greater sacrifice.
All right.
A greater sacrifice. But in this new covenant, he says, I will forgive them. All their sins will be forgiven. And remember them ever again. And the third reason, God's children will receive an eternal inheritance, which brings me to my point, my eternal inheritance. Hebrews 9:15 says, and for this reason, he is the mediator of a new covenant, in order that through his death, those who have been called might receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. So back in the 33rd verse of Joshua 13, we talked about the Levites. Guess what? Right here in Hebrews 9:15, guess what? It is offered to us for the receiving. All we have to do is receive the inheritance. The work's already been done. Receive the inheritance. And then God makes his final move. God's final move is the fact that he makes us kingdoms of priests. Remember, the Levite was the priestly tribe. Mm-hmm. God makes us that priestly tribe when we accept his inheritance. He makes us not only a priestly tribe, but he makes us this holy nation. Holy nation. As I looked at those three ahas and that, see, you know, it reminded me of what we do in business, something we call the sandwich effect. The sandwich effect is this, is the fact when you've got to deliver a message that's not so delightful, mm-hmm. you start with something positive, then you hit them there in the middle, and then you finish it up with something nice about it. You know, Joe, your tie looks real good today, but you're late. And the suit looked pretty good, too.
Okay. Nice.
The sandwich effect. This is what God did. God did a sandwich effect. He bore them. He brought them out of Egypt. Told them what they needed to obey him. Then he made them a kingdom of priests and a holy nation.
All right.
One of my favorite scriptures, and this is where I want to live, 1 Peter 2:9. Let's develop that a little bit. 1 Peter 2:9. You and I are a kingdom of priests and kings. 1 Peter 2:9 and 10 says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praise of him who called you out of darkness into this marvelous light. Who once was not a people, but now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercies. Back to the ahas of the text. The first aha is the fact that, once again, you are a chosen generation. You didn't do it on your own. And unfortunately, many times we do. We try to do it on our own. But if we accept the reality that we've been chosen by God. We out of the lineup, he chose you. He picked you. He brought you to this place. He brought you through to your circumstance, your situation. He didn't bring you there to leave you. He brought you there to get you through it. You are a chosen generation. And as a chosen generation, God has not left it to chance. He has decided that you are his chosen generation. As a chosen generation, he's chosen you to serve him. Not only has he chosen you, but also he's chosen the generation that lies within inside of you. There's a generation that lies on inside of you. Many times we think it's about us. I had the honor yesterday to go to a funeral of a very dear friend who was a mentor in business for me, 83 year old. And as I sat there, he has two sons. He has two sons. One of his sons had died, but he had two sons. And they was there. And as I'm listening to all the accolades about this man, I begin to see that the fact that this man left a legacy, or he left an inheritance. And it wasn't just to his son, it was to his grandson. As they began to speak, as they began to walk, you can see it in the fact they realized that grandpa had left them something. That it wasn't just about the remaining son that was alive, but they realized they had a part in this as well. So I'm speaking to the generation that's on the inside of you, not just you. There's some generation inside of you. I know you're going through some discomfort right now. I know you're in disagreement with God right now. I know that you know there's some wants that you have that you don't have. All right. But I pray that you understand this. It ain't about you. It's about those generations that lying just waiting to come forth in you. So this word is not just for you. I'm speaking to the generations that's on the inside of you. Mm-hmm. And it's up to you to be able to receive the word so that that generation have a chance. As we saw earlier in reference to your role in this, that the generation will be able to receive this if you just simply obey. Obey the voice of God. Obey the word of God. Receive this inheritance because you are a chosen generation. Not only are you a chosen generation, but the word says you're a royal priesthood. You're royalty. I hate to do this again, but look at somebody and tell them, I'm royalty, man. I'm rich. I'm high stock. I'm high stock. I ain't just something. You know, I'm not something over in the corner. I'm royalty, man. I'm rich and highly favored. When I walk into the room, things happen. Right. Circumstances change. The atmosphere change because I'm royalty. You're royalty. You got to speak to yourself. You got to preach to yourself. You got to get down deep in there. Every once in a while when there's no one around to say it to you, you got to sometimes get in the mirror. Yeah. I am royalty. Not because of, once again, anything that I've done. Because of what he's done. Yeah. Royalty. You're royalty. I function in this royalty priesthood is to rule. We have a ruling capacity. Excuse me.
Preach, sir. Come on now.
Preach. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
It's good.
Talk about it. Talk about it. Yes. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
We have the ability to rule. And reign, yes. And have dominion.
Yes, yes, yes.
Because of what he did.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
A royal priesthood.
Yes, sir.
This royalty that we walk in, that we embrace, mm-hmm. It's not just external, it's also internal. something's happened on the internal. My thoughts begin to think like a king. My attitude started to act like I'm a king. On my block, they see me. Something different about it. Who do you think he is? I know who I am. I'm a royal priesthood. 1 Peter 2:4, just a couple of verses above that. It says, come into him as a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Something is being built up in me. Something's been built up in you. Stop looking at your circumstances and your situation. Determine that you're not a royal priesthood. It's been declared. God's been declared. Part of his inheritance, a part of you being his inheritance, says that you are a royal priesthood. You have the capacity as a royal priest to offer up sacrifice of praise, sacrifice of thanksgiving, sacrifice of love, sacrifice of mercy. Oh, God, sacrifice of forgiveness. Someone haven't offered up forgiveness today because somebody did you wrong. But as a royal priesthood, you have the capacity. You have the responsibility, let me put it, to offer up sacrifice of forgiveness. Offer up. Not only as an inheritance, as the you and I are chosen generation, a royal priesthood, but then he just had to throw this. He said, I'm a holy nation. He said, I'm holy. I've been set aside. I've been set apart. He said, I've been set over here in the big seat for good things, for something good, for good purpose. Not just me. He said, a holy nation. It's interesting to me in a reference to when God describes us, once again, it's not so much singular. Talks about generations and nations. Generations and nations. A holy nation. Because God's plan and God's purpose for us, once again, is bigger than us. It expands far beyond our comprehension. Not just me, but Sam and Simone's children. That's who you're speaking to. A holy nation, been set apart for special use by the master's hand. Then he says, I'm his own special people. A very unique person, treasured prize, masterpiece, prized possession, greatest creation ever created. I am. You are. I am. His special people. Special. I said, yeah. Yeah, you special. Yeah, I am. I take it. I'm special. I heard you, Harold. I'm special. I am. And guess what? So are you. So are you. So are you. Yes, so are you. Why did God choose us? Why did God choose us to be a royal priesthood, holy nation, his special people and holy nation? Why? Because he wants to proclaim, he wants to declare, he wants to preach the praises of him who called us out. Remember, he wants to bore us on eagle's wing. He wants to deliver us. And once he delivers us, he wants us, once again, as priests, our goal is to offer up what? Sacrifices. Offer up sacrifices of praise. Because I once was in bondage. I once was in Egypt. I once was dealing with that, but he bore me. He brought me out into this marvelous light. Now I can see. Now I can see. In return, he made us a people that who once was not a people. Once here we go again. That's that plural. He didn't say to make me a person. He said make me a people. A people that's not a people. A people that once did not have mercy but be able to obtain mercy. It's bigger than you. It's bigger than me. I'm going to wrap this up. I've got more, but I'm going to wrap this up. I think you got the essence. Revelation. My last couple of scriptures, Revelation, very quickly. Revelation 1, 4 through 6. And then last one, and then Revelation 5, 9. Revelation 1, 4 through 6 says, John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace to you. Peace from him who is, who was, and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, to make us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. And then in Revelation 5 says, and they sang a new song saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seal, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood. Out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, you have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth forever. Once again, I just want to simply, if you took away nothing else, I just want you to know that you are his inheritance. He's yours. God needs you. God's got things he wants to do in you. He has set you up for good works. He has set you up for, you and I, for success. There is not anything in this earth, no circumstance or situation big enough to rob us of our inheritance. So I encourage you to walk in your inheritance today and know that God is God, and know that your latter days are better than your former days. Let us pray. Most Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for this time. I thank you, Lord, and that that what's been spoken today, Lord, has been received. That no longer will we walk in condemnation and oppression and depression. No longer will we walk as if we're second-class citizens. But we are walking knowing that we are your inheritance and you are ours. So I pray, Lord, just from the little to the oldest person that may be in this place, God, do a new thing in their heart. Do a new thing in their mind. But they know that they know that they know that they know that you are theirs. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. If you love him, give him a hand of praise. Amen.